Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos, and again, Erev Pesach. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. So our sponsor tonight is Rivka Krischer, and she is sponsoring Tiskei Mitzvos U'Maasim Tovim. I said, why are you sponsoring? What should I announce? And she wrote Besuros Tovos and Hoda'ah. So that is something that we can all understand well, and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send the Besuros Tovos to all of Kal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Achinu B'nei Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, and Ahudah, said Rivka further, for all the bounty and the good and the blessings in our lives. So we echo her statements and her sentiments, and we thank Rivka Krischer very much, Tiskei Mitzvos U'Maasim Tovim, for sponsoring tonight's shir, the last Pirkei Avos shir before Chag HaPesach, Zman Chirusinu. So let me get right into the screen share on the mission that today's shir is going to be based on. I prepared it, so you should see it right here. Could you say it says Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, chapter 3? Yeah, thank you very much. Let me just get my pointer. All right, here we go. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, Heve Mispalo B'Shloma Shamalchus, Shal Imale Mora'a Ish Esra'ehu Chayim B'Le'o. Truer words never spoken. Rabbi Chanina, the deputy of the Kohanim, the Segana Kohanim, said, pray for the peace of the government. Because if there is no fear of government, the fear that inspires, what will happen? Every man will swallow his fellow alive. When there is no strong government, when people are not afraid of the government, when there is no leadership, proper justice, when the government is perceived as weak, people take matters into their own hands. A man swallows man alive. That's not the focus of our shir, but oh, how true that is. Hashem yishmar aleinu. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion omer, shnaim sheyoshvim ve'ein b'neim divetar. So I didn't say we're Mishnah Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. I'm not sure if I said that. This is Mishnah Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion omer, shnaim sheyoshvim ve'ein b'neim divetar. Harizim Moshev Leitzim. Let's say you two people sitting together, and they are not speaking any divrei Torah. They're just sitting, and they're talking about, I don't know, the weather, and society, and shopping, and errands, and they're talking about everything except for divrei Torah. Harizim Moshev Leitzim. So this is a meal of scoffers. Shanemar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Perak Alf, Uvamoshav Leitzim, Lo Yashav, Asher Yishasho, Lach Betzatz Rishayim, Ladercha Ta'im Lo Amad, Uvamoshav Leitzim, Lo Yashav. So since it's plural Leitzim, so Chazal understand that means a minimum of two people. So if two people sit on, there's no Divrei Torah, they're not Asher Ha'ish, they're not the fortunate man, because they're sitting on the Moshav Leitzim, they're not talking about Divrei Torah. It's a sitting of scoffers. They're hanging out, they're not taking life seriously. They're forgetting that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval shnayim sheyoshvin v'yesh b'neim divrei Torah. When two people sit together, they have between them divrei Torah. But there's a chavrusa when people are at a meal, when they're sharing words of Torah. Shechina shurei b'neihem. The Shechina, the divine presence, dwells amongst them. Shenem, like the pasuk says in Malachi, Az nidbru yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu. Vayakshev Hashem vayishama v'yikasev zefer zichor on the rabu. Vayikasev sefer Zikaron the Fanav, Lirei Hashem, Lichosh Veshema. So the Pasuk, the Mishnah quotes a Pasuk from Malachi to prove that if two people are sitting together and they do speak words of Torah, they bring the Shechina. That's where Hashem is. Az Nidbiru Yirei Hashem Ish Areu. Then the God fearing spoke one man to his friend. Vayakshev Hashem. Hashem was paying attention. Wow, two Yirei Shemaim are sitting together and they're sharing Divrei Torah. That's where Kosh Baruch Hu is. Vayishama, and Hashem hears. Not only does he pay attention, he hears those words of Torah. And these words are written in the book of remembrances before God, the Yirei Hashem, for those who fear God, for those who are God-fearing, those who contemplate that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in the Elo Shnayim. So now I've established, says the Mishnah, that if two people sit together and learn Torah, Kosh Baruch Hu is there. Minayin afilu echad, sheyoshev ba'osek b'tar, shekosh Baruch Hu koveh oschar. Let's say you have one person who's sitting and he is studying Torah, and he's out of the Chavrusa with another person, he's in a Chavrusa with Hashem, meaning it's just he and the other person himself. So how do you know that Hashem establishes for him a reward? Shenemar, quoting a pasuk actually from Eicha, Yeshev Badad V'yidam Kinatalav. Quoting a pasuk from Eicha, Perikim, a pasuk Chav Ches. He sits alone and he meditates in stillness, yet he takes a reward unto himself. One second, please. Okay, so you have Minayin shafilu achad sheyoshev ve'osek b'torah. How do you know that even if one person is sitting on osek in Torah, Kosh Baruch Hu is there, Kosh Baruch Hu is kovei l'shchar, establishes for him a reward. Shanamar, like the pasuk says, Echa perikim ha'pasuk ha'chais, yoshev badad, one who dwells alone, v'yudam, and he contemplates in silence, in stillness. Dalad mem means silence. Ki natala v'kosh Baruch Hu is still going to give him reward. The person is taking a reward for himself. This is the Mishnah. Why did I choose to do this Mishnah? Why did I choose not to do that? That's not the right words. Why did I choose at all? Why did I choose that tonight's shiur should be an exploration of this Mishnah? This Mishnah should be the point of departure for tonight's shiur. Not because we see governments around the world with tremendous instability. May Hashem have mercy upon us. And there is no fear of the government. And people take matters into their own hands. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. Even though that is very true, because the words of Chazal are true. Lenetzach lenetzachim. Torah Shebaal Peh is true, as is Torah Shebichtav. And not because it is true that two people should never sit in a Moshe of Leitzia, but we should always have words of Torah between ourselves. And even if one person sits, and you're having a meal, and instead of wasting time, you pick up a Sefer, or you pick up a Torah Sevigdor, or you pick up something on the Parsha, or you listen to a Shir on an online site, so Kosh Baruch Hu is there, because it's a Chavrusa between you and Kosh Baruch Hu. But if you noticed, what is the proof that if two people sit, and there are words of Torah between them, a Kosh Baruch Hu is there? Ah, if anyone picked up on it, it's a pasuk from Malachi. Malachi Paragema. As nidburu yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu, then a God-fearing man spoke, one man to his friend, vayakshev Hashem vayishama, Kosh Baruch Hu paid attention, and he listened, vayukasev sefer zikar on the front of, he writes it in a book of remembrances before him, the yirei Hashem, to those who fear God, or the chosh v'shma, and those who contemplate, who think about that, there is a Kosh Baruch Hu. This is the proof that the Mishnah brings, that if two people sit and they learn Torah, a Kosh Baruch Hu is there. Why did I choose this Mishnah for us to learn together this evening? This Shabbos is known as Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos before Pesach, the Shabbos where we long for the great redemption. The Haftorah comes from Sefer Malachi, Perek, Gimel, Psukim Dalet through Chavdat. I'm going to screen share it soon, but the pasuk that the Mishnah just quoted to prove that Kosh Baruch Hu is paying attention when two people sit and learn Torah and establishing for him reward and paying attention, writing the Sefer Zikaron, is a pasuk from Sefer Malachi, Perek Gimel. And that is where we are holding the Shabbos. So let us talk about who Malachi was. Malachi was the last of the Nevi'im. You know Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. So Torah ends with Devarim, and Ksuvim ends with Divrei Yamim Bet. And what does Nevi'im end with? Malachi. Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im, and Perek Gimel is the final Perek of Sefer Nevi'im, and that's where that pasuk comes from. So, who was Malachi? This comes from Chabad.org. Okay, I looked it up. Who was Malachi? Who was he? This is very interesting. Malachi was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. He was of the men of the Great Assembly during the beginning of the Second Jewish Commonwealth, and he was considered the last Jewish prophet. So the Second Jewish Commonwealth is the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Some opinions in the Gemara, and I'll just tell you that this article from Chabad.org, which I sourced in my own notes, I have a lot of footnotes. I don't know ever what I'm doing with all these notes, but they have footnotes. So the article gave all the sources. Every time it quotes a Gemara or a Medrash, the article gives the sources of each place that it's quoting. Okay, I didn't quote everyone. I didn't look them all up in preparing this year, but this is all sourced. I'm telling you that, so you should know it's all sourced. Some opinions in the Gemara maintain Malachi was Mordechai, the hero of the Purim story. But he is referred to as Malachi because of his position as viceroy of Persia, Paros and Madai, a designation similar to that of an angel, a Malach, subordinate to God. Also, we know Malach could also be a messenger. I'm just thinking of it now. So you could say he was, if it's Mordechai, Mordechai was a messenger of God to effect redemption for Klal Yisrael. Also, Mordechai and Malachi both begin with a mem, so perhaps that cues Chazal into the fact that this is the same person. That's one opinion. Another view, quote, supported by many authorities, is that Malachi is a pseudonym for Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe. And a third perspective identifies Malachi neither as Mordechai HaTzadik, nor as Ezra HaSofer, but as a third prophet entirely. So some hold he was actually Mordechai. Some say no, he was Ezra the Sofer, and some say no, he was Malachi's Malachi. He was his own unique person. Now again, those are all opinions that are brought down by Chazal in different places. Some contemporary authors suggest that the name Malachi is a reference to the final prophecy of Sefer Nevi'im, which opens with the words, Hineni Sholeach Malachi, Upina derech lefanai. Behold, I am sending my angel, God says, and he will prepare the path before me. That is the beginning of Perek Gimel. It's that I did look up when I was preparing this year. This article quotes it. It's Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. So the final nevuah in all of Nevi'im begins with the words, excuse me, hineni sholech malachi. God says, I am about to send my messenger before me, and therefore some say that because the third parak, which is the last of all Nevi'im, begins with hineni sholech malachi, upaneh derech lefanai, therefore he's called Malachi. The book of Malachi comprises three chapters, it's a very short book, it's only three prakim long, of prophecies exhorting the Jewish people to better their ways. So what is the theme of the book of Malachi? He is exhorting the Jewish people to better their ways, and he is predicting future upheaval should they fail to rectify and mend their ways. It is the last of the series of 12 prophets known collectively as Trei Asar. Some suggest, okay, so what's the theme? The theme is similar to that of most of the prophets. And that is, if the people do not mend their ways, there would be retribution. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact punishment upon people who stray and who refuse to mend their ways. Some suggest that the prophecies ascribed to Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were actually, this is interesting also, transmitted to the prophets of preceding generations, but publicized by Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, who received them by tradition. So that is a very interesting opinion. The prophecies were not actually transmitted from God to Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Rather, they were transmitted by the Ribbono Shel Olam to prophets in earlier generation. They were handed down almost as if you will, as a Torah Sheba'al Peh, and it was Haggai, Malachi, and Zechariah who then delivered the message. In the interim, Yirmiyahu prophesied and was the last to do so. Nevertheless, the Gemara still ascribes the conclusion of the prophetic period to Malachi because his prophecies were published at a later date. So even if, in other words, even if these nevuos were really given to prophets in earlier times, and Malachi delivered the message or transcribed it, the Gemara still says that he used the conclusion of the prophetic period because his prophecies were published at this later date, and after him there was no more nevuah. An alternate perspective is that prophecy continued, albeit in minute measure, during the lifetime of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So in other words, it wasn't as intense nevuah as it was before. It was in a smaller degree. Indeed, the Gemara teaches these prophets prophesied during the second year of King Dariavish's reign regarding the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The life of the prophet Malachi is an important turning point in Jewish history and marks the close of the glorious era of Jewish prophecy. It's probably a terrifying time in Jewish history. We don't live in a time of nevuah, so we don't appreciate what we are missing. We don't understand exactly what nevuah is either, if we want to be honest. It's pretty much impossible for us to relate to what exactly it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not talking about revealed Hashgacha Pratis and the moments when, you know, you open your sefer to exactly where you need to be. And clearly, Yad Hashem, it's amazing. It's moving. It makes us thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his presence in our life. But like real nevuah, like An Hashem spoke to this person saying, we don't live in such a time period anymore. And the time period of Malachi and his prophecy marks an important turning point in Jewish history. It marks the close of the glorious era of Jewish prophecy. The people were going from a great light to a great darkness. A time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke directly to man, to a time when Hashem spoke indirectly to man. As the Gemara teaches, and the last prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, after they died, the divine spirit of prophetic revelation departed from the Jewish people. So that's an overview of who Malachi is. Again, just to reiterate, I said it in the beginning, I'm going to say it again. No, maybe I didn't say it yet. That I not included in my notes by mistake. That's strange. Somewhere I saw that he lived about 300 years before the Common Era. That's what I want to tell you, but I think I didn't include it in my notes, which is a mistake. Okay, the Maisa. So we have a brief overview of who Malachi is and different opinions of who he may be. It is undisputed that he is the last of the prophets, and his prophecy includes words of rebuke to the nation and words of retribution and divine punishment if the nation chooses not to come back to God and to atone for their sins. Why is his prophecy chosen as the prophecy of Shavuos Haggadah? The Jewish New Year begins in Nisan, even though we down here count the months from Tishrei. Up there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the months from Nisan. Nisan is the beginning of Am Yisrael. It's Yitziyat Mitzrayim. Parashas Bo, the story of Yitziyat Mitzrayim. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, chapter 12, verse 2 in Sefer Shemos, Yod Beis Beis. And God spoke, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Vel Aaron Beretz Mitzrayim Leimor, that's Yod Beis Aleph. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, Mishun Lachem Lechad Shei Hashanah. What month is there? Rashi says, Befeirush. What month did I say, Hashem says, the first month of the year? Nisan. And the Torah counts the months from Nisan. Anytime. So when it says that Aaron died in the fifth month, that's off. It's not counting from Tishrei. The Torah counts the months from Nisan. So when was Klal Yisrael born? Klal Yisrael was born in Nisan with the Yetziat Mitzrayim. And Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asidin Nigal. I think it's Rosh Hashanah 11a, Yerav, I think. The Gemara says, that's one opinion, that in Nisan we were redeemed. In Nisan we will be redeemed. So Nisan is the month of Geula. We pour our fifth cup of wine because the coast of Vehevesi Aschem El Aretz Asher Nasasi Es Yadi Laseis Osal Lachem Morashani Hashem has not yet been fulfilled. Paragvav Sukkim Vav through Zion in the book of Shmos, Parshas Va'era, Votsesi Cup 1, Kiddush, Vitzalti Cup 2, Magid, Votsesi Vitzalti Vigalti Cup 3, Birkas of Mazon. But what about the fifth cup? What about that cup? We're still waiting. We don't have the full geula. It's not yet here yet. So we do not drink that cup of wine. That's reserved for, that's known as Kosha Elio, Navi Zechor the Tov. Why? Because the Navi will come and he will tell us that the redemption is at hand. He will say, the Messiah is here. And we're going to say, the Messiah is here. And it won't be opening the door for the spirit of Eliyahu and Navi, but it'll mamash be the foreshadowing of Mashiach when Eliyahu and Navi Zechor Otav come. So why do we read this book, this excerpt from the Sefer of Malachi on Shabbos HaGadol as the introduction, if you will, to Geulas Mitzrayim? I'm going to screen share the prophecy after I read the next piece to you. However, what you will see and what I'm telling you now is that it does not seem to have anything to do with Galus Mitzrayim or Geulas Mitzrayim. There's no overt, is that the right word? Yeah, thank you. There's no overt messages or statements or psukim or words that seem to have anything to do with Chag HaPasach, Nisan, Avdus, Cherus, Shibud, the Geula, Felel, or Gadol, the Ten Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not about that at all. As you're going to see, we're going to have time not to look at all its psukim Dalad through Chav Dalad. We're not going to have time to look at all the psukim, even though I did prepare all the psukim. However, you're going to see that it is words of exactly what we said in the introduction. It's rebuke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he will punish the sinners. He will punish the evildoers. He will punish the wicked. And he will reward the righteous. So what does it have to do with Mitzrayim? So this is an essay on Shabbat HaGadol by Rabbi Adin Evan Israel. Rabbi Adin Steinzelt Zichrono Levracha. And he says as follows, although Pesach is not mentioned throughout the bulk of the Haftorah, it does relate to Israel's redemption in general, and to redemption that comes after dejection and distress in particular. So the Geula Mitzrayim was a Geula that came after dejection and after distress. And therefore, says Rabbi Steinzelt, this Haftorah is relevant because not only is it speaking about Geula in general, but it's speaking about Geula that comes after dejection and distress. Indeed, although most of the Haggadah is devoted to remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim, various sections of the Haggadah allude to the redemption in the future as well. And so just like this prophecy alludes to the future redemption, in the Haggadah Shal Pasach on Leil HaSeder, we will also allude to the future redemption. In addition to the role of Pesach as a remembrance of past redemption, it also embodies a broader concept of world order on a larger scale, which is exactly what Malachi is speaking about. World order and world redemption on a larger scale. We are not satisfied with a half redemption. That's why we still long for the ultimate Geula. It's not enough a half redemption, you tell Kosh Baruch Hu. You want the full redemption. We want world order. We want world peace. We want the Mashiach. We want Jewish commonwealth. We want Jewish sovereignty. We want a Jewish king. Malachi speaks about these themes, and that is one of the themes of Pasach, even though it is not spoken about so much because it's really a Leil of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. This combination presents a view of history on the larger plane, a cycle that begins with oppression and suffering, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach, Vayesimu alav sarei misim laman anoso b'sivlosam. There's a cycle that begins with oppression and suffering, and it ends with great redemption. As Yashir Moshe v'Neisha, as Ashir Azos Hashem v'Yumulim, or Ashir Hashem ki Goga, Shus v'Rech v'Ramavayam. It begins with Shibud, and it ends with great Geula. The redemption from Egypt is considered the prototype of the historical process. So the redemption of Egypt and what we celebrate, says Rabbi Adin Aven Israel Steinsaltz, is not just the Geula Mitzrayim, but this is the template, or this is the prototype for all Geula. The redemption from Egypt is considered the prototype of the historical process. But this worldview also maintains there is great hope for mankind. Ultimately, redemption will come. Maybe the Jews, after 210 years in Egypt, also thought the redemption would not come. It was a long time. They were there for hundreds of years. Maybe redemption will not come. But ultimately, Tziyat Mitzrayim proves, and the prophecy of Malachi reminds us, that redemption will come. And when redemption comes, the solution to the world's questions, Tishbi Yibar Kushios Uvayos, Teku, and the world's suffering will be redeemed and resolved. The words of Malachi in this Haftorah likewise portray the grand design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grand design for the world. At the end of the prophecy, Malachi insists that days will come in which all answers and solutions will be revealed, and the truth will ultimately be recognized. In those days, the prophet says, you will come to see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who does not serve God. Today, it's very hard to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. Maybe not from the Torah perspective, but it seems very difficult for the world at large to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. The world seems to have no concept of who's righteous and who's wicked. It's completely upside down. They think the righteous are the wicked, and they think the wicked are the righteous. They think the victims are the aggressors, and the aggressors are the victims. At the end of days, this is so true in our time. Olam Afuchu Isi Psachim. Ha. Psachim 58, Nun, Amar Aleph. Olam Afuchu Isi. It's completely upside down. Completely upside down. The terrorists are the innocent victims, and the innocent victims are the wicked terrorists. But in the end of days, says Malachi, you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between he who serves God and he who does not. And the time of reward will also come, as Malachi promises. For you who revere my name, a son of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. For those who fear God, the sun, S-U-N, the light, the dawn of righteousness will rise. And there will be healing that will come to the world. This will be a time of clarification and response, when the righteous will ascend higher and higher, and the wicked will fall lower and lower. These are the themes of the Sefer of Malachi, specifically of the Haftorah, the Shabbos. Thus, the end of the Haftorah reaches far back into the history of the people of Israel. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Malachi ends by saying, remember the teaching of my servant Moshe. Obviously, Malachi is speaking the words of God, who I charged at Chorev, Matan Torah, Harsina, with laws and statutes for all of Israel. The prophet concludes with a great prophecy of the end of days, which we're going to see on the screen when I share it with you. And with that, the great circle is closed. It is important to note that Malachi is reminding us, no longer will there be exile, followed by salvation, followed by exile, followed by salvation, followed by exile, followed by salvation. But on the final great redemption, Hayom HaGadol VeHanura, the great and awesome day of the Lord, it will be the final redemption, and there will be no exile to follow. Can we even imagine? What a fantastic dream. B'shuv Hashem Hashiv Etzion, Hayinu Kecholamim. It was all just a dream. Who could have imagined? This prophecy is the final prophecy in Tanakh, continues Rabbi Steinsaltz, and as such, it contains the complete vision of Israel, from the first redemption to the final redemption. Final redemption. Although this chapter mentions the Exodus indirectly, it expands redemption into a vision for future generations until the end of days. For all of these reasons, Rabbi Adin Aven Steinsaltz concludes, it is the perfect introduction to Chag HaPesach. I was very excited when I was looking through the Haftorah. By the way, I actually thought I was going to teach something else earlier in the week. I came across a different piece and I thought, oh, I sent myself an email. That would be for Pirkei Avos, share this piece. But then when I realized that the Haftorah includes this pasuk, which right away I recognized for Pirkei Avos, I said, it's perfect. It gives us an opportunity to perhaps learn something. This is totally new for me. Maybe it's not new for you. I don't know. I didn't know much about Malachi or the time period when he lived or about the Nevuah, except for the final few psukim. So now let us look at the prophecy of the Nevuah itself. I'm going to go back to screen share with you. I also have that right here on my screen. Let me come back to you. Okay, you should be able to see the now it says Malachi, Perek Yemah. Yeah, thank you so much. Awesome. I'm getting my trusty pointer. Okay, I am going to be using, I prepared this and reviewed with the Steinzelt Nevi'im. Once again, my thanks to my friend Mrs. Henny Wolf for gifting me the Steinzelt set of Tanakh. Extremely beautiful and extremely helpful, useful, and clarifying. Okay, so the Nevuah that we read on Shabbos HaGadol is the final Nevuah of all of Nevi'im, like we have just spoken about. It's in Perikim. I'll just show you for your reference. It begins in Pasuk Dala. But just for your reference, remember we said one of the reasons he's called Malachi, according to some, is because the final prophecy in all of Nevi'im begins with Hinini Sholech Malachi. I'm just showing you. Behold, I am sending my messenger, my angel. So because that's the last Nevuah in all of Nevi'im, some say that's why he's called Malachi. Okay. Then the Pasuk of the Haftorah actually begins with a famous Pasuk that you say every day at the end of your Amidah. And I want to talk about this Pasuk. So how does the Haftorah begin? What's going to be in the end of days? I don't know. I really don't know. But we can look at the words of the Nevi'im, who will give us some indication of what's going to be. Va'arva la'Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. These words should be very familiar to you. Ki mei olam u'chashanim kadmonius. What does it mean? It will be pleasing to Hashem, the mincha, the flower offering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, like in days of old, like in years gone by. So just like Bizman Shabbat Hayim Mikdash Hayakayim, the Karbanos were Arech Nicholach, Nachas Lefani Shamarti Venasa Ritzoni. So too in the end of days, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, which we spoke about this morning, it will once again be pleasing to God, like the mincha of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. I want to share with you an insight that I heard from Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter many years ago. He was speaking at the Jewish Center of Atlantic Beach. It was actually the first time I ever heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter speak, and I was quite mesmerized, and I thought, wow, I could listen to this rabbi speak for hours. But he said, one, I don't remember the whole rest of this year, but I'm grateful. If something sticks with me after so many years, it really means that that's something made an impact. And this is the Nakuda I remember from that year. He pointed out that we say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. All of Israel are guarantors for one another. We will all be rewarded collectively. Chas V'Shalom will all be punished collectively. Kol Yisrael are guarantors for one another. No Jew exists in a vacuum. There's no such thing as your own Dalet Amos, even if you think there is. You're responsible for another yet. Oh, there's a story like that in the Henny Malchus biography that I didn't think about till I'm speaking. Let me see if I can find it very quickly. One second. Let me see if I can find it quickly. You know, Robertson Cook eating the cake, Shabbos. Yeah, I found it. Thank God. Hashem helped me find it very quickly. Okay, so V'arva l'Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim kimei al mechshanim kadmonios. It will be pleasant to Hashem, the mincha, the offering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, like in days gone by, like in early years. So I'm speaking about the shorish of this word, ayin resh beis. When we say Kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, all of Israel are guarantors for one another, an alternative interpretation of this, as Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter, he suggests, means all of Israel must be pleasant to one another. We see from here that Arevus means pleasant. But by the way, you say it in your morning davening also every morning. Hashem, make the words of Torah pleasant in our mouths. It should be sweet. Torah should be exciting. It should be so sweet. Should be sweeter than honey. So clearly from these two psukim, actually from the tefillah in the morning, Va'aravna, and here from this pasuk, you see, ayin resh beis means pleasant. It doesn't only mean a guarantor. When Yehuda took Binyamin down, when Yehuda says he'll be the guarantor, Anochi aravenu, miyadi tivakshenu, So then, that means Yudah was saying to Yaakov, I'll be the guarantor. But Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter said that Arevis also means to be pleasant, which is a huge lesson in what it means, that Koyser Arevim Zabazah, by the way. All of Israel will not only be guarantors for one another, we need to learn how to get along. All of Israel needs to learn how to be pleasant. And Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter words, it means to be nice. We need to learn how to be nice to our fellow Jew. And that is how the Haftorah begins. So perhaps we can say, based on this, let's put both Pshatim of Ayin Reish Beis together. Also means Arav, by the way. Now let's talk about guarantor and pleasant, or Rabbi Dr. Jay Shechet Rose, be nice. Maybe the Navi is telling us that the fragrance of the offerings of Tzion and Yerushalayim will only be pleasing and accepted by God when we learn how to get along with our fellow Jew. Ah, if you want to reverse the process of Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you need Arevus. What does Arevus mean? You need to be nice to one another. You need to be kind to another. You need to be accepting of your fellow Jew. It doesn't mean you have to be exactly like them, but you need to be kind. Don't mock their Pesach rituals, even if it's different than your Pesach rituals. Don't say they're so forefront, and don't say they're so modern. Whatever they do is between them and the Ribbono Shel Olam. You could try and influence, you could try and educate. We have to accept other Jews. By the way, I'm not talking from a vacuum, such a maisa. It was just whatever, without going into any detail. It's unfortunate. Why are we looking at what other people do? Why are we looking at what other people observe? We need to be nice to other people. And then maybe Hashem will be nice to us. So when we have koishra, arevim zeh bazeh, when we reverse the process of sin eschinim that destroyed by Yesheni, maybe then we'll be zocha to see the fulfillment of Malachi's statement. It's really Hashem's statement. Va'arvel Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Hashem says, you know when I'm going to accept your nachas ruach and the fanai, she'amarti v'nasa ritzoni? You know when your mincha will be arevis before me? When you learn to have arevis with your fellow Jew. All of Israel are guarantors for one another, and all of Israel must be nice to one another. So since I mentioned Hani Machas, and I went to get the sefer, here it is. I want to tell you a story, says the great Hani Machas, Allah al-Sham. Rabbitson Leah Cook said, one time she took it upon herself not even to read a kosher newspaper on Shabbos. She wants to concentrate only on Kosh Baruch. I'm not paskening, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm relating the story. It's in the Hani Machas biography for your reference, page 389. One Shabbos, she was passing a table. There was a kosher newspaper, and one of her kids was reading it. She passed, she saw a certain headline at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. After Shabbos, a woman came to her and said, Rabbitson Cook, I'm so broken, I'm shomer Shabbos for 4 years, chozer b'teshuva, but today at 4 o'clock, I felt a complete weakness. I smoked a cigarette. Rabbitson Cook said, it wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Do teshuva. Rabbitson Cook felt in this teeny tiny way she affected people who are connected to her neshama. I want to tell you something, says Hani. By the way, this is the gray in the book. So this is Hani's Torah teachings verbatim. I want to tell you something, said Hani. When you hold back from doing what you're not supposed to do, whatever it is, you affect your parents, your children, and all the people in the generation who are connected to you. We're all connected. Quote, it's a very scary thing. This is a direct quote. Koyshra Arevim Zabazah means we are all connected to one another. Just like Yehuda said to Yaakov, Anochi Arevenu Miyadi Tivakshenu. I will be responsible. I'll be the guarantor for Binyamin when they're going back down to buy food for the next trip. We are all connected. Yesterday morning on Shabbos, says Hani, I got up and there was this big, juicy, luscious-looking piece of cake. It was a mousse cake. I had a feeling I should not eat it. It's not good for me. It was before davening. Even though I'm Hasidish, and if I'm very hungry, page 389 in the Hani Machas biography. So I eat, I can daven because I'm Hasidish, but I can eat before I daven. I felt I shouldn't eat it. I heard a voice saying, don't eat it, it's not good for you. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I ate it. I felt bad. I was disappointed in myself. When we don't eat cake, we're saying, I want my neshama to be stronger than my body. Why did I succumb to the taiva of eating cake? Okay, I'm not telling you whether you should eat cake or shouldn't eat cake. Just the point I'm bringing out is that we're all connected. So when I did his spodidus after Shachris, at 11 a.m., I said, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sorry. I fell. Don't be distant from me. You know, I didn't mean it. I'm fell and I'm human and this is how we are. And I did teshuvah. And today somebody came to us. This is the gray boxes. This is Henny relating the following Maisa to our seminary students. Today someone came to my house. He's about teshuvah. He's been firm for a while. But he told me Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock, he couldn't overcome his taiva. It was Mechal Shabbos. He took out his phone. So this guy told me all the other times he's texted on Shabbos, afterwards he feels like it's all or nothing. That's it. He would take off his yarmulke and he would transgress Shabbos the whole day. But he said yesterday, Shabbos, after he texted, he caught himself at 11 o'clock. He got up. He went to shul. He said, Hashem, I know you love me. And I know I love you. I don't know what happened. I lost it. I used my phone on Shabbos. I'm sorry. But the rest of Shabbos from 11 a.m., when he was inspired to do teshuva, he learned Torah. He did everything he was supposed to do. We're all connected to each other, says Henny. That's what I want to tell you. So when you want to do what you're not supposed to do, remember you're affecting who knows how many other neshamos. I think this is a very beautiful one aspect of what it means. One aspect of all of Israel, guarantors, and all of Israel connected. So the Navi begins. Let's go back again to the Navi. So the Navi begins as follows. That's the first pasuk of the Torah. The next pasuk, I see the time. I don't know how that happened. The Karafti Aleichem Lamishpa. I will come close to you for judgment. Hashem is punishing the sinners. I'll be a swift witness against those who perform kishuf. Ubema na'afim, and those who perform niyuf, adultery. Uban nishvaim l'shakar, and those who take false oaths. So this, and those who pervert the justice and hold back the wages of the amana, the yasam, the ger. Velo yaruni, they did not fear me. So this pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact justice and retribution and punishment against those who corrupt and pervert the ways of the world. Ki ani Hashem lo shaniti. Hashem says, I am God. I have not changed from the beginning of time to the end of time. Hashem is above and beyond time. I have not changed. Va'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisim. And you, the children of Yaakov, you have not been destroyed. I want to tell you what the Steindos Ketuvim says on this. These are two basic facets of the Jewish people's existence. The eternity of God and Jewish survival in this pasuk. Ani Hashem lo shinisi. Hashem says, I am never changed. I am eternal. Va'atem b'nei Yaakov. And what about as for you, the b'nei Yaakov, lo chilisim, you will not perish. And the Steindos Nevi'im says these are two basic facets of our existence. The eternity of God and the promise, the divine eternal promise of Jewish survival. Pasuk Zion. I don't have time to go through all these pasukim, but the prophet resumes his rebuke. From the days of your forefathers, you have strayed from my mitzvahs. You have not guarded the mitzvahs. Hashem says, I'll make a deal with you. Return to me, wayward children, and I will return to you. But you're so lost, you say, and how can we return to you? We don't even know what to do, God. Can a person rob God as you rob me? But you say, how have we robbed you? The answer is, with Meiser and Truma. By withholding back Meiser and Truma, you have robbed me, so to speak, Hashem. And then here is another very famous pasuk. From here we have this idea, and it's even brought down in the Steinsaltz Nevi'im interpretation. I'm sure you've heard about this. We're not allowed to test the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's hard to say this, but it's based on this pasuk. That in one thing we're allowed to test the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and that is if we give tzedakah. Because Baruch Hu promises, if we give our trumas, if we give our ma'aser, today if we give our tzedakah like we're supposed to, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up his storehouses and he will pay us back in turn. Test me, says Hashem, uvechanuni, from the word bechina. Havius kola ma'aser al besa otzer. Bring all your ma'aser to the storehouses. Vihi tarif bevesi. There will be food in my house, says Hashem. Uvechanuni na besos amar Hashem tzvagas. Hashem says, with this you can test me. Give me a bechina. What's the bechina? If you bring your tithes, if you give tzedakah, imlo eftachachem es arubo sashamayim. I will open up for you the windows of heaven when you're generous to others. Barikosi lachem bracha ad bilidai. I will empty out against you blessings without an end. It's also an appropriate message for Maus Chitim and Kimcha de Pischa. There are so many organizations and our yeshivas collecting for the Rabbeim, the Moras, all kinds of organizations collecting Kimcha de Pischa and Maus Chitim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, with this you can test me. Uvechanuni na bezos. When you give to others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give back to us. He'll open up the windows of Shemayim and he'll empty out against us blessing in a positive way, without measure. V'ishu aschem. Again, I'm not doing every pasuk because of time. Now I'm pasuk in base. V'ishu aschem kolagayim. The nations will praise you, from the word asher, praiseworthy. Wow. The nations will say how praiseworthy all these people. Kitiyu atem eretz chefetz, amar Hashem tzvagos. Your land will be a desirable land, says Hashem, the Lord of hosts. Chizku alai divrechem, amar Hashem, v'amartem manida barnu alecha. Your words are harsh against me. This is a rebuke. And you say, what did we speak against you, God? Parak Gimel Pasuk Tazayin. Oz Nidbaru, the prophecy, I ran through the whole thing with the Steinsaltz commentary and interpretation, as well as the translation, is a dual message. It's a message that the sinners will be punished, and it's a message that the righteous will be rewarded. We've seen a few examples. And now we come to the pasuk that's quoted by Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, as proof that when two people sit on their Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is paying attention. Ah, Malachi Perek Gimel Pasuk Tazayin, Az Nidbru Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'ehu. Then the God-fearing, a man to his friend, will speak. Ayakshev Hashem Vayishama, Hashem pays attention and he hears. Ayikasev Sefer Zikar on the fun of, and he writes it in the book of remembrances before him. Liyirei Hashem Uluchoshvei Shema, to those who fear God and those who contemplate his name. So here we say, I'm going to quote the Steinsaltz Nevi'im, although they thought their statements and efforts had no effect, they were reminded here that God hears everything and preserves it all. Likewise, God will respond to their harsh complaints that they expressed when they saw the righteous morose and the wicked joyful. God will respond, likewise, God would respond to their harsh complaints. What were the harsh complaints? That they expressed when they saw the righteous morose and the wicked joyful. In other words, in simple English. People see that the righteous are suffering and the wicked are prospering. We learn to God and we say, what's happening here? Hashem says, don't worry. Everything is recorded by me. I'm paying attention. It's all the Sefer Zikonos, Sefer Zikar on the Fanai. And ultimately, the righteous will prosper and the wicked will suffer. V'hayu li amar Hashem tzivakos li amasher ani oseh segula. Continues the Navi Pasuk Yitzayin. Those who fear me, v'hayu li, you will be to me. V'akachlim eschem li la'am. You will be to me, says Hashem, the Lord of hosts. On that day, I will make you a charmed nation. By Matan Torah, we are told, V'atem tiyuli melechas kohen v'gad kosh, V'atem tiyuli v'yisem li segula v'kol amir. V'chamalti aleihem. I will have mercy upon you in the end of days, says Hashem. Kasher yachmal ish al beno. We long and we wait for the day. We beg Hashem to have mercy upon us, like a father has mercy upon a son who serves him. V'shavtem, and then you will do teshuvah. U'ri'isem bein tzaddik l'rasha, you will finally see the difference. No, Hashem does not treat the tzaddikim like the rasha'im and the rasha'im like the tzaddikim. You will see the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. Bein oved elokim la'asher ovdo, la'asher lo ovdo. You will see the difference between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. And the next pesukim talk about how the furnace of burning fire is coming. The wicked will be punished. Let's go to the last few psukim. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Last words of Nevi'im. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Asher tzivisi oso b'choriv. That I commanded him in Har Sinai. Al kol Yisrael. I commanded Moshe to transmit the Torah to all of Israel. Chukim u'mishpatim. We have different categories of mitzvos. Hine anochi sholech la'mezeli ha'navi. Lifnei boya Hashem ha'gadol v'hanora. Behold, I am sending to Eliyahu HaNavi before comes the day of Hashem, the great and awesome day. And what will Eliyahu HaNavi Mashiach Tzikenu do when they arrive? V'heishuv leiv avos ha'banim. They will return the hearts of fathers upon their children. V'leiv banim alavosam, the hearts of children to their fathers. Pen avol v'hikesi es ha'aretz chirim. Lest I come, if you do not repent, if you do not return, then I will come and I will smote the land. Now, if you would see in my Nevi'im, I don't know if you could see, but just like in Echa, we repeat the second to last pasuk. We do not end with the very last pasuk, even because the very last pasuk has a measurement of punishment in it. We end with the second to last pasuk, and we go back and we repeat, Yinei Anochi Sholech Chames Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanora. So the Steinsaltz Ketuvim says as Nevi'im says as follows. There is an ancient tradition that at public recitations in the book of Yeshayahu, Echa, Kohelet and Malachi, all of which end on a seemingly unpleasant note, one concludes with a more uplifting verse. In the case of Malachi, one repeats, Behold, I am sending Elijah the prophet to you before the coming of the great and awesome day of Hashem. This is the message of consolation which seals the era of the prophets. Nevi'im ends with a message of divrei nechama, as this is the final prophecy in the Bible. Malachi urges the people to observe the ancient covenant Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi and to remember that the future redemption will certainly arrive. I really want to end with a story. Our time is mamish very up, but I'm going to end with a story. But I think it's a beautiful conclusion to this year. It's from Rabbi Rishkin's book called Listening to God. Inspirational stories for my grandchildren. It was 1975, one of my favorite stories. Have you heard me say that before? Yes, this is one of my favorite stories. 1975, Rabbi Rishkin that summer was visiting Israel. Something happened that I felt was a message from God, he said. There was a bookseller in Mea Shearim. His name was Reb Shmuel. From him, I would purchase Sfarim during my summer trips to Israel. He would give me a whole winter to pay him back in installments. When I came back from Kibbutz Ein Surim to spend another week in Jerusalem, I knocked on his door. He sold books from his home. More often than not, he would open the door with a grunt. This was not due to lack of manners. You see, Reb Shmuel believed that we sin far more with what comes out of our mouths than what goes into our mouths. And he would often take upon himself a tanit dibur, a fast from speaking. So he would grunt in his greeting, and I would understand he was fasting. Aha, two grunts meant he had a good book for me. Three grunts, yakar hamitziot, an excellent find. So I was expecting a grunt. This time, however, he opened the door. Reb Shmuel embraced me. He was quite verbose. He was affable. Reb Shlomo, he said, how are you? Reb Shmuel, how come you're so gregarious today? He looked at me smiling and he said, haven't you heard? The Messiah is in Jerusalem. Okay, I smiled to humor him. He gave me some very special sfarim. I left, but I felt a growing sensation inside, in my soul. I went to the kotel. I prayed mincha and marv. I thought I was waiting for someone. The next morning, I went back to the kotel for shacharit. I don't usually do that, but if the Messiah was in Jerusalem, he would surely show himself at the kotel first. I found it very difficult to leave the kotel. That night after dark, I listened to all the news reports. I figured maybe I would hear an announcement. The Messiah was here. Finally, that evening, I was taking a plane back to New York. I knocked on the door of Reb Shmuel's home. He was surprised to see me. He spoke again. I already supplied you with sfarim, he said. I said, I don't understand, Reb Shmuel. You told me the Messiah is in Jerusalem. I went to the kotel for every prayer since I last saw you. I looked, I waited. There's no Messiah. He looked at me and he smiled. Reb Shlomo, Reb Shlomo, er macht a greisen taus. Reb Shlomo, Reb Shlomo, you're making a very big mistake. You think we have to look for the Messiah. You think we have to wait for the Messiah. But it's the opposite. The Messiah is looking for us. The Messiah is waiting for you. I went out shaken. I felt that if the Messiah was really in Jerusalem, but whether or not he would reveal himself depends upon us. And I now understood I was part of that us. This really sums up everything we've spoken about from Va'arva L'Hashem Minchas Yehudi Rishalayim. We have to be nice. We have to be accepting. We have to be loving. We have to be kind. Only then will our offerings be pleasing to God. We have to make sure to sit each man with his friend. Shnayim Sheyoshvim V'yesh B'neim Divrei Torah. Va'yakshiv Hashem V'yishama. You have to make sure to repent and take the message. You have to know that in the end of days, it will be clear. There will be a difference between tzaddikim and rishayim, and we'll all be able to understand. And even though, like you see, the Haftorah really does not seem to do anything with Yetziyah Mitzrayim, which it really actually does not, the theme of the Shibbut to the Geula is the prominent theme of this prophecy. The very last and Sefer Nevi'im, and we think we're waiting and waiting and waiting, but maybe, just maybe, the Messiah is the one who's looking at us, longing for us, waiting for us to change our ways. Ve'heishiv teshuv alev avos abanim, alev banim alavosam. So we will finally be able to say, wow, here's the fulfillment of Hine Anochi, Sholeach Hachem, as Eliyahu Navi, I thank Rivka Krisha very much on behalf of you and myself and all of us. Tizkli Mitzvah L'Maisim Tovim. She's sponsoring for Besuros Tovos and Hoda. I wish you all gevaldik, uplifting, wonderful, meaningful, beautiful Chag Kasher for Sameach, for you, your families, for Klal Yisrael and our land, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much. And of course, don't forget, have a beautiful Shabbos. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.